longer if I can. How long will I need you? As long as the seasons need to follow their plan. How long will I be with you? As long as the sea is bound to wash upon the sand. How long will I want you? As long as you want me to, and longer by far. How long will I hold you? As long as your father told you, as long as you can.
Good morning, folks. If you're listening to that song, which is How Long Will I Love You by Al Golden, you're listening to, and you're listening to CKW 95.9 FM, your community radio station right here at University of Winnipeg. You're listening to Of No Fixed Address, your advocacy show on homelessness and poverty and speaking for those who cannot speak for themselves. Today, we're going to do a little bit of a different show. As we talked about last week, we're having a human rights symposium next week on Monday, actually, and it's creeping up way too fast, and the anxiety is rising, and tension is rising, and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, we had a really successful event last year, apparently. I still have not quite realized that part of things, but everybody asked for a symposium, too, and so we are doing that. And last year was almost one person in 10 weeks. I had Debbie, my most wanted radio producer and good friend, helping me out, and one or two other people. But this year we started earlier, and I've been able to use the talent and the skill of Councillor Marcus Chambers, executive assistant, or better, senior advisor, to help me out this year. And you know what? It's taken such a load off my shoulders on this. And she's been driving the truck on this one. And so, Davis, we've been talking about having you on the show for about a year. But now there's a really, really good reason to do it, because our event is coming up on Monday. And you've done so much work towards the symposium. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Al. I know we've been talking about this for probably well over a year, so I think the timing is really great that we've got the symposium coming up on Monday, so I'm really happy to be here with you today.
Yeah, and like I said earlier, talking to you, welcome to the Overworked and Sleepless Nights Club planning this show, the show on Monday. Thank you so much for being there. To help put this or drive this thing, and the artwork you put together is amazing. You know, those foam backing,
foam core boards,
are absolutely wonderful. And you captured the spirit, you captured everything that I would have done, which but I think we talked about this a very long time ago, that we sometimes share the same vision on things, and you kind of need that. But Davis, what I do with everybody is I ask people to just give us a little background on who you are, and what brings you here and even your position at City Hall?
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to say before I begin, too, is just I'm so honored to have had the opportunity to connect with you even further and work with you towards the symposium. It's a huge privilege and honor to be in this capacity and in these spaces with you.
Oh, well, vice versa. Absolutely.
Yeah, so I guess just a little bit about me. You know, I'm actually not originally from Winnipeg. I'm from a community called La Paw, which is about 6.5 hours north of here. I landed in Winnipeg to pursue my post-secondary education, which just so happened to take place here at University of Winnipeg. I was able to achieve my four-year Bachelor of Arts in Psychology with a minor of Women's and Gender Studies. And while I was in university, I applied to a program that's called STEP. It's for students who are seeking employment. The program actually allows you as a student to apply in so that potential employers can contact you directly based on your education and your interest. And it was actually through that program that I got contacted from Employment and Income Assistance, and I started there as a student. Within those spaces, I found that I thoroughly enjoyed providing support for community and showing up for folks. So my program managers kind of quickly took me under their wing and got me some advanced training and moved me up to providing support on actual caseloads versus just kind of the administrative tasks that I was doing.
Nice.
Yeah. And through that space, of course, I thoroughly enjoyed being there, the work that I was doing, working with, you know, the staff and the community really enlightened my desire to further pursue how I can provide more support for our community. I ended up working as a crisis counselor with clinic on Wednesday nights every week. And after I graduated school, I officially applied to be a counselor with Employment and Income Assistance.
Awesome. And how did you get to be in the position you are today with Councillor Chambers?
Yeah, so I kind of came at a point at a crossroads with, you know, the work that I was doing. You know, there's a level of providing support for community where you really start taking on, you know, some of the hardship that you're encountering on a day-to-day basis. I was finding that there was a lot of things that were coming up for me personally that were starting to impact my ability to show up for people because you're hearing a lot of ongoing struggle and hardship on a daily basis. It can really take a toll on your overall well-being.
Yes,
and so
for sure.
It was in those spaces that I kind of had to look at, you know, my goals, my career path, and how I wanted to advance. And I kind of told myself that maybe there is something else that I can do with the training and skills that I've been fortunate to acquire, that maybe I could be a part of something else and provide some advocacy on maybe policy that, you know, directly impacts the community. So, yeah, I ended up seeing that Councillor Chambers had some availability.
And awesome.
I'm very thankful to be in his office.
Oh, nice. Really, really good. And you do a lot of great work in that office. And I'm still blown away by the fact that you're able to spend time doing work on this and having Councillor Chambers give us his blessing on that, right?
Absolutely.
You know, that's pretty amazing. And, you know, everybody should know that Councillor Chambers is the chair of the Human Rights Committee of Council, where I spent 6 years, and I finished my last my term in December, but I am going to go back in August because I think they need my voice from the street, you know, to lead the way for human rights and homelessness and poverty.
Yeah, with a community like that, you really do need to have diverse perspectives that are going to be able to represent the community on a multitude of different platforms. So it is really important to make sure that you have folks that can speak to that.
Yeah, and I think it's one of the things that, that needs to be in that room, around in that chamber, right?
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about our big events on Monday, which is causing me. You know what? Every once in a while, I think, okay, what am I doing this for again? When I get into weeds, right? But then, you know, of course, that goes away in 2 seconds when we know why we're doing this because there's so many people that can't uphold and uplift their human rights to begin with, and then uphold them. You know, so there have to be people. There has to be folks like us who can do that, who have the wherewithal to do it, and have the voice, right, mm-hmm. to do this. And again, the symposium started last year because a housing provider said, in no uncertain terms, that human rights for the homeless don't matter when it comes to hoarding and bus shelters. And unfortunately, two city councilors agreed with her mm-hmm. in that. And I said, we have to have a louder voice than that.
Yeah.
And so we put together this symposium. And this year, it's a continuum because people wanted a second one. And that's, I guess that's a compliment as to how last year's went.
Absolutely.
And so here we are. And it's going to be, I think, maybe better than last year, looking at the roster and looking at all the people in the audience. And everybody in the audience, because there's such a diverse group of folks in the audience from different sectors, and I think that leads to more interesting discussions.
Absolutely.
And learning from one another. And when I make my opening talk, that's going to be part of it. Everybody here is going to contribute because we all come from different perspectives on things. And
absolutely, yeah. And just kind of as you mentioned before, that kind of ebb and flow of nervousness leading up to the event, I think really speaks to the level of care and compassion for the work that, you know, you and I have
yes.
that we're pouring into this.
Yes.
And so we just want to make sure that we're, you know, doing it right on behalf of folks that
entirely.
Really need that.
Entirely.
And I think to, you know, speaking to, you know, those who are going to be in attendance of the day, mm-hmm. You know, recognizing that last year was the first symposium, I think this year really is going to be speaking towards, you know, action items so that people are able to sit and reflect within their own capacity. How can I take away from this event
yeah.
and do better by which of what I'm doing and how I'm serving the community?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the whole thing, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, what can I do better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question that I think needs to be raised. What can I, not as a group or not as an organization, but what can I as an individual? And if everybody starts thinking that way,
mm-hmm.
Maybe something will get done, right? We're not going to change the world in the symposium.
Yeah.
But we're going to create provoking thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're going to provoke, ask thought-provoking questions.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that level of, you know, discussion and connection and networking with folks that come from diverse backgrounds. Mm-hmm. There's really representation from, you know, every kind of sphere that you can
yeah.
you can have imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
I think that really speaks to the volume of, you know, the matter and the issue at hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about complex poverty and homelessness, it's not a one solution, a one size fits all. You know, you know, you have to really bring in people who are representing the healthcare system, people who are going to mm-hmm. be talking about food security,
yes.
voices with lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
That can really speak to, you know, how they've been in these spaces and what barriers
and
they've encountered.
I think that's really important that we always, and of course, having lived experience myself, we cannot go without having a lived experience panel.
Mm-hmm.
And Monday, I can guarantee you those two are going to blow the socks, are going to blow the room up, you know, because they have mm-hmm. such powerful stories of abusive childhoods
mm-hmm.
leading to addiction, leading to homelessness, and the fight to get out, and then still struggling, but coming forward and being and paying it forward and working within, you know, leadership roles,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's yeah, it's really important that those voices are heard.
Absolutely.
And Chelsea Cardinal and Jocelyn Kirkland are two very good examples. And, you know, I wanted to have that female voice this year. Last year we had three males on it. And I was looking at putting another male on, but I think I don't want to dilute their stories. And I think we need to set the tone of for the day right
mm-hmm.
right here now, right? And let's go, you know.
It's a reminder of why we're gathered,
mm-hmm.
you know, at the symposium. And I think it really opens up the opportunity to illuminate how the systems can, you know, fall shorthanded,
yep.
create
mm-hmm.
more barriers, even within systems that
yes.
are meant to provide that advocacy, support, and empathy.
Right.
There are still barriers
there
that exist
barriers.
Within those systems.
And, you know, in the healthcare system is really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
place, and it's why I felt that this year, well, the first reason is I've been involved in the healthcare system for over a year now in very different roles and in really, you know, high level roles, and I see the shortcomings, right? And it, for me, it was really important to reach out to the leadership and I was able to do that. Fortunately, we are having the top doctor in the province show up, not to speak, but just to attend. And I think that's amazing. And, you know, she does have a real, real heart for it. But again, people have things to learn.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's an ongoing learning. Mm. It's not something you can do one day and say, all right, I attended, and what's next? It's really how you apply yourself on a day-to-day basis to continue being open.
And to be open to learning, right?
Absolutely.
And I learned that, too, from the Provincial Healthcare Leadership Program I took from September to January. We had eight or nine doctors. And actually, I'm having four doctors come. Mm-hmm. And they were so, you know, I expected a different reaction from them to me being in the room. But, you know, they were so open, and they were open to learn. And I was really grateful for that. And I was expecting something. But there's my own judgment, right? I always talk about judgment of others. And there, you know, we all exercise our judgments all the time. We just have to limit them.
It's an ongoing perception and a dance that we do, for sure.
Yeah, we just have to limit them. But So I invited some of the doctors from that particular program to come, and they all said yes, and they were anxious to come. So
incredible!
And the leaders of the Center for Healthcare Initiatives or Innovations, everybody's begging to come almost. So
you're getting calls every day leading up to everyone
down,
wants
I have to
be
turn
there.
Down so many people this year, but you know, again, to your point, we need to have that diverse audience to learn from each other and learn from the speakers. Not only learn from the speakers, but just learn from each other. And that's why I gathered this particular group. And I was so careful this year in who I was putting together, because I needed a wide variety of people in the room. Mm-hmm. And we have like probably 20 people from the city of Winnipeg coming.
Yes. Yeah,
including about
from
seven,
various departments.
Yes,
and
including sectors. Seven counselors for now. Mm-hmm. And someone will be leaving. That's good too. But we're having about 15 to 20 people from the city coming, all different departments and levels and everything, which is, I'm so grateful that they are doing this. And again, from the federal government, from the Reach at Home team, I have seven people coming from the federal government. Mm-hmm. And then again, from the provincial government, we have a number of people coming from even Bernadette, Housing Minister Bernadette Smith, and Noelle DePop is bringing some folks. Mm-hmm. She's with the government now and works on housing and poverty and issues like that. So it's going to be a wide, a diverse section of people.
Yeah. And then, I think the amount of interest too leading up, the amount of folks that have been reaching out on, you know, let's say somewhat of a last minute basis.
Yes.
But the widespread interest in being there, I think, really speaks volumes to the work that's needed to be done and the recognition within those spaces that these folks work in, that they want to be there. They want to be a part of these conversations. It's something that we all can contribute to make changes for.
And that's what's exciting. And,
yeah, right? Absolutely.
You know, and that is really exciting, because people find this to be a really important issue, right? And I'm so thrilled that Aisha Khan is bringing about eight staff. I mean, I don't really need 8 to 10 staff coming, but she's bringing 8 to 10 staff and her head curator, so they can learn a little more about homelessness and poverty, because we are starting a conversation after the symposium on planting an exhibit on homelessness and poverty in the museum, and she wants to be sure that her researchers have a little base of knowledge, you know, so she's doing her part to make this work, right?
Yeah.
And you know, I'm so pleased to, because of a mistake I made last year in not inviting the Human Rights Commission, which is such an error when it's a human rights symposium, and we're in the Human Rights Museum, not to invite the Human Rights Commission. And for some reason, it just went over my head. But so I reached out, and I spent about almost an hour talking to Karen Sharma, who's the CEO and executive director, and we had this talk. He says, yeah, I heard about it. I really, really wanted to go. And I said, yeah, that's on me. And he said, no, I could have reached out. And I said, well, you know, I was the one that was doing the inviting, so it's on me, and I apologize and all that. But she said, I heard afterwards so many good things about it, and she said, we really got to be involved. And so I said, well, you know, I've heard good things about you from person I'm working really closely with, and that's Councillor Chambers, and they worked together for about 15 years or something.
Yeah.
And I heard that you're a pretty remarkable speaker, so would you like to keynote? And she just didn't take 2 seconds to say yes. she's so excited about just being able to keynote, right? Mm-hmm. And be a speaker. So, you know, to have a person like, I spent about 8 months wondering how I am ever going to replace Aisha Khan mm-hmm. as a keynote, because she was really good. And here we go. And, we could have had the mayor's keynote too, and he would have done that. But I think having human rights leaders mm-hmm. in our community, yeah. Step to the plate and be keynote is really important. And I think we want to leave an impactful message. And we're actually doing something different here with the keynote. We're putting the keynote before lunch because yeah. councillors have to leave, and Aisha Khan has to leave, and a few others, the mayor has to leave, and a few other people have to leave. So we want them to hear the keynote. So we're going to have her before lunch so people can actually, listen to that talk. And mm-hmm. so I don't know, I'm anticipating a really good day, and I know you really care about this, otherwise you wouldn't be putting in these hair pulling moments.
I think I mentioned this morning, I think I'm going on 2 weeks of not full rest at all, waking up in the middle of the night and just saying, all right, let's get back to work. But
and my stomach's been crawling, and it's been not, I've been occasionally not being able to keep food down and all kinds of stuff like that. But why is this important to you?
I think
that's a loaded question.
It's a really big question, but it's a great question. Hard to kind of break down into a few sentences, but I think, you know, from the work experience that I take from me, working at Employment and Income mm-hmm. Assistance, working with, mm-hmm. Single families, folks with, long-term disabilities, and also as a crisis counselor with Clinic, there is an insurmountable need in our community. Mm-hmm. And that's actually something one of my, mentors at that time in my life had said, and I thought it was quite profound. It's kind of always stayed with me. But, it's such an incredible experience to be able to learn the ways to show up for people who are experiencing hardship, are experiencing probably the most difficult things that they can, and to be able to show up for folks where mm-hmm. they're at, how they're at, and provide a support is an incredible mm-hmm. opportunity, but how unfortunate it is to realize what a need there is in the community. Mm-hmm. So I kind of think that translates to why this field is so passionate to me and why I carry so much with it is mm-hmm. because I've had conversations with folks in the community. I've had conversations with, folks who are working within these spaces. Mm-hmm. And I really think something like the symposium has the ability to illuminate where these systems are falling mm-hmm. short, mm-hmm. how we can do better, and really highlight the fact that it's not a one-size-shoe-fits-all solution. We have to come at it from a multitude perspective because every system in place right now has their own influence and causes their mm-hmm. own barriers. Mm-hmm. So let's illuminate that so people can change that within.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good, and that's a really good way of putting things. And I'd like, I think to have all the folks show up on Monday is that they are showing up.
And their presence is vital.
Their presence is, and I really appreciate the key words in our invitation page mm-hmm. said your presence is not only required, but it's vital. Mm-hmm. And I think that struck a lot of people. And I think that sentence right there, I think, got a lot of people invested mm-hmm. in it, right? And thank you for that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I consider myself a pretty good wordsmith, but that was really, 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 really good. I wouldn't have come up with that.
I appreciate that.
Again, everybody that is coming on Monday is stepping up for the folks out there. And again, we're not going to change the world in a day, and we're not going to come up with solid answers. But what we're going to do is maybe at the end of the day, I never thought of that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's somebody, because there's so many different diverse groups in the audience, and maybe that will work,
Absolutely. And I think, that's something too. talking back to the pandemic when things shut down and there was such a struggle on, you know, resources and organizations who are trying to provide the same level of support for the community. What I remember reading and hearing about was, for once in a very long time, organizations started collaborating together.
You know what?
And it's that collaboration piece that is so important.
That, you're entirely right. And I think we can do that on Monday. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the things, because I'm on so many committees, one foot in, one foot out, right? I'm always, I'm involved in so many committees, but not with any particular organization. But the one thing that the COVID did, or the pandemic did, was bring people together to save lives, right? And I think, you know, that mindset, you know, became really, really strong within the community. And that was the one great, great, great thing that came out of COVID, you know, and community organizations started working together.
Started those conversations.
Yeah, absolutely. And became collaborative. And hopefully something like that can come out on Monday. But folks, we got to take a music break and a station break. And it is 7 degrees out right now. We're headed for a nice day of, well, not that nice. 16 isn't bad. 17, no, that's today. Today is about 10 degrees. I'm having a hard time reading the screen, but I think it's about 10 degrees, which isn't too bad. But, you know, tomorrow's going to be 16, Sunday 17, so we're getting to the warmer stage. But when you're out there 24-7, it's not nice at any particular time. So be kind. Again, I say this every show, be kind. When you go to Tim's, you go to Robin's, you go to even Starbucks. If you can afford to go to Starbucks and buy a $5 coffee, you can afford to go to Starbucks and buy two $5 coffees or to give to somebody on the street. But, folks, we're going to take a station break right now. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM, your community station right here at University of Winnipeg, and of no fixed address. Great talk.
Stop the car, got out while it was
Good morning once again, and welcome back to Of No Fixed Address, your advocacy radio for people living in poverty, homelessness, and the vulnerable, and those who can't speak for themselves. And today, it is, right now it is 7 degrees out. Just adjusting my mic, I never speak directly into it, Debbie tells me. we are at 7 degrees and a high of 10. It's not a bad day, but it's not a great day if you've got to live out there 24/7. So remember that. And please, you know, be kind. Today, again, my guest is a person who I can now call.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's archives.
I can use the word intense because putting together the symposium, it's been a lot of work. And we were just talking about a program that U of W students put on a number of years ago. Do you want to just talk about that for a second?
Yeah, absolutely. Just as we were on kind of a short break, I mentioned that the first and last time I was actually on the radio here at the University of Winnipeg mm-hmm. was actually when I volunteered to participate and help coordinate the 5 days for the homeless mm-hmm. Awareness campaign. Basically, you know, the premise of this campaign is to really illuminate and raise awareness mm-hmm. for not only homelessness, you know, across our city and our province and our country, but particularly youth and student homelessness that happens. You know, it's a program that a really dear friend of mine, Jacob, had kind of been volunteering on and brought to my attention mm-hmm. that kind of aligned in my interest. And basically what we would do is for 5 days, we would sleep on campus outside, and anything that we required in terms of food or anything, it all had to be donated, and it didn't matter whether you were have exams coming mm-hmm. up or studying. And I think it really helps you know, fellow students but also your professors mm-hmm. really recognize that you don't know what the folks around you are going through. That's actually something ages ago growing up, my great grandma mm-hmm. actually always instilled in me. She used to take me on some drives in our community mm-hmm. and just, you know, in moments of silence she would say, look at all these houses. And when you're looking at all of these houses, look at all those doors. There are families and peoples, couples, folks living behind those doors, and you have no idea what is going on behind that door. Mm-hmm. Really teaches you compassion and empathy and understanding to, you know, like that common quote, you never judge a book by its cover, but it's true. Is you don't know. And I think it's the program in and of itself for 5 days for homelessness is an incredible way to raise awareness, but only mm-hmm. also for yourself participating it to really understand yeah. what someone can be going through on a day-to-day basis.
Entirely. And, you know, it goes to the value of lived experience, mm-hmm. right? And, you cannot replace that.
Mm-mm.
And but even, you know, for 5 days, it's giving you a little bit of an understanding, right? You know, so many people have complaints about CEO sleepouts, and, you know, I do and I don't. I do. Yeah. I do because I've seen people use it to their own benefits and mm-hmm. Say, "Look what I'm doing! I'm patting myself on the back and I'm sleeping outside for a night." But there's Tim Hortons truck there, and there's a Pizza Hut pizza truck right beside it, mm-hmm. and you can go in and use the washroom anytime you feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for the CEOs to do that for one night is kind of a silly thing, but what it does do is bring awareness,
mm-hmm.
and anything that brings awareness is good to a point.
Well, and, so, you know. And that's kind of that piece too. I mean, there are definitely moments and times where I hesitate to bring up, you know, this kind of experience because mm-hmm. there is that underlying controversy behind mm-hmm. it is, yes, on one front, on one page, you're raising really important mm-hmm. awareness. You are gaining, you know, experience for 5 days to yeah. really understand to a certain extent, not mm-hmm. the fullest extent, but it also makes you really recognize your own privilege. Is yeah. that at the end of the 5 days?
I've spoken at a lot of CEO sleepouts simply so I can actually bring some realism mm-hmm. to it.
Yeah.
Right? And so somebody here has to be grounded. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I've done it for the, when Downtown Biz had it, I was their spokesperson. I was in, you know, about 7 times for over the weekend when they had the CEO sleep out. And for Shalom, I've been their spokesperson and done some speaking for it. It's let's bring awareness to it, but let's be realistic about it as well, and know that there's no pizza truck or, or Tim's truck or, where you can go have a coffee middle night and all that kind of stuff. And there's real pluses and minuses to it. And
always is,
But again, I don't think people should be patting themselves on the back. Like some of those high-level executives downtown when they had the big announcement in the Hydra building, and people were just lauding themselves for doing it. And it's like, really? Mm-hmm. Is this really what it's about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I do applaud the students for doing this. And 5 days is it can be a hardship. Mm-hmm. You know, and you don't get proper sleep, and you shiver, and it depends on, or you're living in a cold sweat, you know, living in a tent.
Yeah.
And I know all that. You know, one of the worst things about what I found about being out there, well, there's lots, many, 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 many bad things, but, you know, the shivering. You know, when it would get really, really cold, and even not necessarily even cold, like 10 degrees and 10 degrees and wet, I would break out in shivers, and I couldn't stop the shivering. And you know, sometimes that leads to death in itself, and because you're so cold and you just can't stop, and it feels like your body's going to fall apart, and that's. Yeah, I'll never forget. That's the one thing I will never forget is that uncontrollable shivering for hours.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to die. And then, again, the other thing is, too, when people are homeless and they get sick, I developed pneumonia. And I thought I was going to – but nothing took my life, unfortunately. At that time, I was thinking, come on. Is the fact that nobody is there to put their arm around you and say, yeah, you're going to get better and give you that proverbial cup of chicken soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is where we start castigating people in camps, which we shouldn't do. But when we start, you know, really disparaging them, and they have community. And if you care about people's lives, it's necessary that you understand that community is really important to keeping people alive.
Absolutely. Right?
And I was out there. I was in isolation. I suffered and I suffered and I suffered. But people in camps have community. They have each other and whatever they can bring together. And it's so important. And, you know, when we talk about the camps, it's something that's not talked about. It's community that's there. And how we... how we approach them is really, really important, but we have to understand that community keeps people alive out there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But thanks for sharing that about the homeless, you know, 5 days of homelessness.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like I said, it's kind of one of those experiences that, you know, I found to be beneficial and illuminating, you know, what people can be encountering on a day-to-day basis, but it also does pose a lot of controversy.
Oh, sure it does.
And I totally recognize that. But
5 days is a good long time to be out there.
It is, and also in March when it is winter, that's when it takes place, and we actually didn't have tents or sleeping bags.
So. And again, that's a bad month. March is not a good month. But also, it's hard to function when you're homeless. Hard for students to, like you said... if you're not eating properly, if you're living in shelter, it's hard to function, hard to go through the thought process and do your studies. And I don't relate this too often, but when I was out there, like I was an old advertising guy, right? So I decided to apply for an advertising sales executive job somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got a job, and it was so difficult. I lasted like 10 days, and... the problem is, you know, I was walking from William and McPhillips all the way to Archibald and Provence, and it was hard. And then walking all the way home, and it's sales, it's high pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to do your job in the right manner is really, really difficult. Plus, the fact is, I didn't shower that much. I washed up almost every day, but they didn't shower. So people are saying, maybe you should go take a shower, you know, because your clothes gather that. And so it was so hard, and I lasted about 10 days, but I got $750 out of it, which really helped me, you know, get through and eat properly for a little while, right?
Yeah.
But it's so hard to do anything in a normal life, like study, like work, fulfill any responsibility when you're just trying to survive.
Well, your basic level of human, you know, rights and your needs are not being met. So when you look at it from a perspective of, you know, the level of social exclusion that folks can feel, where, you know, you're internalizing what's going on because society has told you that it's your fault when really it's the systems that are failing you. You know, when you are worried about when you're going to eat next and you have that level of stress on you, you are unable to access affordable and appropriate health care. So you don't know if your rest for the evening is going to be safe or warm.
That's
there
the
are
other
so
thing, right?
many impeding factors that can take such a significant toll if it was just one of them, but having all of them, you know, really.
Entirely. And, you know, when I was out there, I had two individuals who were either high or drunk, and they wanted my car. And they stuck a broken beer bottle in my throat. And at that point, I was tempted to let them do it. But I didn't. I slid out on a rainy Saturday night and found shelter elsewhere. And I was lucky that they didn't take my clothes. And they left the car in the morning or whenever they woke up. But that's trauma. And, you know, that just made my stay on the streets harder than before, because this was always in the back of my mind. Is this going to happen again? It might be an illogical fear, but it did happen once. And so people don't understand what separates people with lived experience from others is the fact that understanding the trauma, right? The trauma is
and
so
compounding
huge.
Compounding trauma.
And that's one thing that folks who have never experienced it will never know. And it's one of those terrible, terrible things that carry with you or that stay with you for years on end. And again, you know, how can we, getting back to the human rights thing, how can we uphold people's human rights? Like, people in the camps have their rights trampled on all the time. And so I was fortunate enough, I was training the police cadets 2 weeks or a week and a half ago, and one of the inspectors from the Winnipeg Fire Paramedic Service was presenting after me, so he had to sit there and listen to my 75 minutes of talk, right? So gratified. This is a person that's not terribly popular in the community. I can't say his name or anything, but he's not popular in the community because of his work with the camps, right? So it was kind of cool to do that. But we have to do this more and more and more. We have to educate people on that these people are just like you and me, and they have the rights the same as we do. And people die because the human rights aren't respected.
And they're not being put, they're not being upheld, they're not being respected, they're not being recognized.
Not being recognized. And I think that on Monday, if we do anything, let's, you know, we are recognizing and we are here to find ways to uplift the human rights and keep them upheld, right? That's so important.
And kind of one of the things I'm, you know, looking forward to of the symposium is the level of discussion that's going to take place at the breakout sessions, because I'm not going to give too much away because, you know, some people attending might be listening to how we're doing it, but, you know, getting outside of your department, your expertise, and having conversations that are outside of your comfort zone, that we are actually going to
become... That's so important.
That's so important, and we're going to be actually compiling it into a report that is actionable, that is going to hold people accountable, so that we can measure the outcome and look back on.
Awesome.
And say, since April 15th, what have you been doing?
Yes, awesome. That's so good. Thank you that you're, it's okay. Thank
the chair is just a little squeaky today.
I really thank you and the council for doing that, and I look forward to that report too. And, you know, if nothing else comes out of Symposium 2, we'll have that. And we'll lead that into all things next year, right? That'll be our spear, our lead point going into next year. And we can, you know, this is what I envision for the symposiums. And I've applied for trademarking up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
So if I'm still alive at 5, that'd be good. But again, and how much progress have we what have we actually done in over 5 symposiums, right? But having a report is actionable. Mm-hmm. It is an action that is going to take place, right? And so many...
And accountable.
Accountable. Yeah. And so many of these symposiums and conferences don't do that. And I'm so happy. Thank you for taking the lead on this with Councilor Chambers. And again, you know, it'll do my heart so much good to have that come about. And and to have your and Councilor Chambers' vision on this is so important because, you know... I'm one person with one one vision, and but it's so nice to have that separate, different perspective on things.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think, you know, unfortunately I wasn't able to attend last year, but just through conversations, you know, with you and your planning, it's Symposium 1. You're introducing the symposium to the community, so it really was awareness and conversation and trying to elevate it to this level this year. I think really speaks volumes to the work that you've done, your vision, and how you're foreseeing it's going to take place. You have done an incredible job in... I don't even want to use the word raising awareness or advocacy, but who you are, Al, like I said before, I'm so thankful to have been a part of this in some capacity, and I really would love to see that report that's, like I said, actionable, you know, measurable.
You know, get that thing distributed out there, you know what? We're going to have to knock down walls to have all the people next year. To accommodate all the people next year. I'll say this. Once a report like that comes out, it's going to be out there.
You've got to think of a big venue
next
year.
I was actually thinking about that this year already because I had one organization that was going to sponsor for a national thing. But, you know, let's do things right first and then see, we're gonna have to do some controlling next year. Thanks for coming in today, and Debbie, thanks for coming by and for what you're gonna be doing on Monday as well for the program, being together with me. And last year when we put together two of these things, Debbie was the ringleader for another human rights symposium at the University Unitarian Church, and I so much appreciate that you give lived experience the morning to talk about, you know, that.
Incredible.
And so, yeah, it was such a great two events. It was amazing. But, folks, we're going to wrap it up, but come back next year, and we'll be back next week to talk about how the symposium went, if I'm still alive. You know, we'll talk about the breakout session and what came of that and all those good things. But and Debbie, we'll see you on Monday, and Davis, we'll see you. I'll actually see you right after here. But come back next week. We're gonna have some interesting discussions going on about the symposium. But it's right now. It's still 7 degrees. Hasn't gone up. Heading for 10, which is not great, but humidity is 65%, which makes it a little uncomfortable. And take care out there, and you know, be kind to those people that are sitting on the sidewalk asking you for coffee or money or something. Just do something.
The following is an encore presentation from CKUW's
archives. See you next week. I can't feel
friends are sorry for myself and those around me. Every time they go to fix it, something else is breaking.
Five years ago, on April 30th, 1999, CKUW 95.9 FM went live on the FM dial in Winnipeg. Since then, nothing much has happened. But let's celebrate a quarter century of your downtown underground radio station on May the 17th at the Handsome Daughter. Block Parents, Guilty Sleep, Cheap Heat, doors at 8, show at 9 p.m., tickets $15 at the door.